from the Kroner Building in Chicago, Illinois, it's time once again for Pete Bone Rising, the Pete Bone Rebellion from coast to coast. And Pete invites you to call him at 8162. That's 8161 or 2. Pete Bone is on the air, America, and you're invited to take part in the Pete Bone Way. Yes, you are invited to take part in the Pete Bone Way. This is Pete Bone. Randy's with me, and we have seen what we didn't think would happen, to be perfectly honest with you, the way the Ganglia Party was conducting itself with Elvis Sharrock. But Elvis Sharrock has captured the domination, Randy, and
didn't think it would happen.
I didn't think it would happen either. The Ganglia Party had been mystifying and fortifying. They had been going from town to town, village to village, knocking on doors to try to keep Elvis Sharrock from, let's call it as we see it, his appointed rounds. You know, they say about Santa Claus.
Well, I know Santa Claus won't be denied.
No, Santa Claus will not be denied, but you know what they say about him. He's on his appointed rounds, right?
That's Santa Claus. That's the post office, too.
That's the post office, too? Is that what the post office? All right, well, good. Then the post office took their slogan from a good man, Santa Claus, because we believe in Santa Claus here, and why not? Elvis Sharrock is now the presumptive nominee of the Ganglia Party. And I'll tell you this. I spoke earlier today with Todd Hoopbrook and with his campaign manager, Zapfanista. Both of these men had the cruelest and most unkind and the most foul-weathered and ill-tempered comments I've ever heard uttered by a major campaign in my life.
Really? What'd they say?
Well, let me just let that sink in before I tell you.
No, I'm on pins and needles. What'd they say?
I'll tell you what they said. They said that Elvis Sharrock was a low, unseemly, sociopathic animal. In fact, they said calling him an animal was an insult to our friends on four legs.
You have got to be kidding. I didn't think that was possible. But when I did talk to Zapfanista earlier, he said, wait, because we've got a bombshell coming. And I said,
you made one of your crude jokes, didn't you?
Well, I did. I said, well, you got a bombshell. Make sure you turn a fan on.
You didn't say that, did you?
I did.
Oh, you didn't say that. Make sure you turn a fan on.
I did. I couldn't resist.
Oh, Randy, I love you. I love you, huh? And then what did Hoopbrook say?
Well, Hoopbrook said the same thing. They said that they had a bombshell coming, and it was going to drop, as they say in the podcast world, it was going to drop at about noon. And I said, again, well, make sure you light a match and turn on a fan.
You're kidding. You didn't say that.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, God. This is why I work with this man, and I have worked with him for some 16, 17 years. Just the marvelousness of...
Well, I wish I worked with you for 16 years. We've only been together for 5.
Haven't we known each other for 16 years?
No, we met 7 years ago at the convention in Dallas. But I wish that I had known, and I hope that I do know you for 17 at least.
Well, at least I hope I know you, Randy, for 17 years. Why do I think I've been with you for 17 years?
Marjorie?
No, Marjorie and I have been married for 21 years. Well, we lived together for 22 of those years. We've been married 2 years, but we live together, and I'll explain that in a moment, because I know we get cards and letters. A lot of people want me to clarify my morality. But I want to do that. But I want to just revel right now in Elvis Sharrock's presumptive nomination to the Ganglia Party. Todd Hoopbrook and his manager, Zapfanista. Now it's going to be a one-on-one, mano-a-mano against Cheryl Dickberger. And this is going to be great. This is going to be one for the ages. Finally, we're going to have our point of view. Finally, our people are going to be heard in Washington, D.C.
Long time coming.
absolutely a long time coming. We've got more phone calls, too, from people who want to weigh in on this. Why wouldn't they? We got some commercial breaks to take care of. But, you know, I'm feeling I want to talk to people. I want to make sure that I'm seeing right this thing. You know, it's just, it's a glorious, glorious day. Here is Anita. Hi, Anita. You're on with you're on here with Pete Bone. I got Randy here, and what a day.
What a day, Pete. I thought that last week when you had Mr. Chirac on, and he was so despondent that he called, you know, he said that Cheryl Dickberger was characterized her as a what is the word that they use? A person that...
Cacophobia or phragia or something like that.
That they consume human waste.
That's right.
And I thought you were... I didn't know what you meant by that. I looked the word up. But it applies in her case, doesn't it?
Well, yes, in the figurative sense that she consumes it and then she spits it out. She's a cacophagia kind of a person. And I got a lot of mail, and I got a lot of cards and letters from people. Not on that, but it just so happened there was a lot of cards and letters coming in this past week. But I was worried that someone was going to give me a hard time about that. And as it turned out, we had no one was listening to that show. And but there's a good reason for that.
Oh, no, no one was. I listened to the show.
No, I know you did, but no one was listening to that show because there was a golf tournament on or something. So we got preempted, I think, in a lot of places. But
I know that the golf tournament was on, but I found you on another station down the dial that 1520 where Gary Belpezian is.
I don't know, ma'am, where that where are you calling from?
Well, I'm in Augusta, Georgia.
All right. Well, so you're in Augusta, Georgia. All right. So and Augusta preempted my show for a golf tournament and wasn't the Masters.
No, it was not the Masters. It was the Chevron Open in Bogalusa, I think, in Louisiana.
All right. Well, so, all right, so I've gotten thrown off a little bit by that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset you.
No, I'm not upset. No, why would I be upset? I'm not upset. Let me just, thank you very much. Get into a quieter room.
Hey, let's, I'll tell you what, why don't we take a break?
No, why do you want to take a break?
Well, I was that lady, I can see.
What? What? The lady did what?
Well, she depressed you. I could see you got depressed when she said that they preempted you in Augusta for a golf tournament in Louisiana. Who listens to golf on radio, you know?
Uh-huh.
Well, come on, Pete. I'm on your side.
All right, well, if you're on my side, then don't bring up these little things. Don't stick it in, twist it, and then break it off like who listens to golf on radio.
I apologize.
All right, so is it fine, you know, Randy? So no one was listening to the show when I said that Cheryl Dickberger was a cacophagia. I don't know what the word is.
Well, it means to eat fecal matter.
Right. And I got a lot of cards and letters that came in that week. Was it last week?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, they were reacting to it. Most people didn't hear that show, and most of the cards and letters that came in were people who wanted to enter for the new Chevy that we're running the contest for with our sponsor, Lloyd Brown Chevrolet. But the volume.
Way too much volume for just a car giveaway.
Right. I could tell. Oh, here is Velveeta. Velveeta? Oh, she's leaving now. She's brought me my cocktail. Thank you, God. Thank you, God on high. So, where were we?
Well, do you think you need that drink?
Yes, I do need that drink. Boy, get a load of you, Randy. You're coming at me pretty...
Well, I'm making a couple of comments.
No, I mean, you got the knives out, man. Woo! Get a load of this guy. He's got the knives out. Let's go to another phone call here.
I'm sorry if I just thought, you know...
Don't worry about whether I'm drinking on the job or not. All right, Brad, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Pete?
Good.
Look, Pete, I wanted to talk to you about Elvis Chirac. Everyone's excited about it, but he mentioned that they give you a drink, and it might not be a good day for you to drink.
Wait, what is this anyway, huh? I do what I want to do.
No, I know you do that, Pete. I would never tell you that you can't, but on a day like today where Elvis Chirac is, I know you support Elvis Chirac, but you got the bad news that no one sent you cards and letters on saying that Cheryl Dickberger eats shit, basically.
All right, we had to dump out of that. because of the language. I understand that you're tempted to use the word when we're talking about cocafragia or caca.
They ought to call it cockamamie.
Yeah, they ought to call it caca, but they don't. That's the problem. They call it something. I don't know how to pronounce it. We don't have time to look it up. We don't have a producer with us today because we had to fire a bunch of people last week because our computers got compromised by a group of high school kids that were here taking a tour of the station. And some of them hacked into my computer and started sending out pictures of it was unbelievable.
Absolutely.
And the general manager here at the station, Wad Wadsworth, has been let go. This is nothing I wanted to talk about. This is a day of celebration.
Yeah. And I think we ought to be let's forget about cocafragia. Forget about Cheryl Dickberger. You know, I've forgotten her already.
Boy, isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? I don't even know what her name, but I'll tell you what Elvis Sharrock is going to do to her during the general election is going to be ugly. It's going to be ugly. It could be frightening. And if I were you, I'd keep the kids far away from whatever it is Elvis Sharrock has planned for Cheryl Dickberger, because it's going to be frightening. Frightening, frightening. You're listening here to The Pete Bone Show. This is Pete Bone Rising. I'm Pete Bone. We'll be right back. Pete Bone Rising from the Grover Building in Chicago, Illinois. We'll be right back. Hey, friends, Pete Bone here for Pete Bone's 16-volume History of America, My Way. Yep, the Pete Bone way. You've been getting all kinds of lies. You're lied to every day. You're lied to just about every person. You're lied to by just about every person. And I would say the only way you can get the truth is to head on over to Pete Bone. I will lay it on you as I know it to be true. And our 16-volume History of America, as Pete Bone understands it, is going to finally give you the truth. Now, all you have to do is send us a self-addressed stamped envelope, and then we will send you back an application. You fill that out, send it back to us, and then we, if we approve, will send you our 16-volume History of America the way Pete Bone remembers it. Now, make sure that you send your money, because a lot of people forget that when they send the self-addressed stamped envelope, we send back the application. When you send back your completed application, we want to make sure you got the money, because we gave away last week, I think, 6 volumes of that, right?
Well, they gave it away, and people were actually asking for...
Don't say it. It was a mistake.
Yeah, they didn't want... Well,
all right, well, by mistake, we gave away 6 of the 16-volume set. So please, look, just send us money, and then we'll send you the 16-volume set. The Pete Bone History of America, the way Pete remembers it. 16 volumes of a history you'll never forget. Did you know that George Washington was a homosexual? Did you know that Abraham Lincoln wasn't from this planet? Were you aware of the fact that in 1951, the United States and Russia entered into a covert agreement whereby they would create this Cold War that would end up with Ronald Reagan defeating Russia, and everybody would get wealthy and happy and wise at the very end? All the commies are living in very, very luxurious estate somewhere in the East Coast, probably the Appalachians or some other place. Pete Bone's 16-volume history, the way Pete remembers it, from The Pete Bone Rising. I hope you order it, because it's a great gift. Great gift for a church or school. Pete Bone's 16-volume history, the way I understand the history of this country, and the way I understand the history of this country. Friend, that's the history of this country. And now we return to the Kroner Building in Chicago, Illinois, with Pete Bone. Let me get Elvis Sharrock. We got Elvis Sharrock on the line. This is great. Elvis Sharrock, the presumptive nominee of the Anglican Party, is on the line with us, and I couldn't be happier to be with him. Elvis, how are you?
Terrific. How would you think I feel? I feel terrific.
What a win, huh?
What a win. And we knew everybody in the country would come out for Elvis Sharrock. I'm on the phone here with my main man here, Pete Bone. We are going to take this country back, Pete, the way we should have 4 years ago when we elected Irving Elwater. And Irving Elwater is, I know he's got his version of things, but we know what he did to this country. He destroyed every single solitary thing that we ever sweated over and loved and bled over. But Elvis Sharrock is going to re-energize this country and take this country back to where it used to be, when it was a country that we could love, and not what last 4 or 8 years of the
well, he was in office for four.
Yeah, okay, the last 4 years because the guy before that was on our team, right?
Yeah, he was. That was Gary Gutaway.
Oh, President Gutaway. Yeah. Well, we're just delighted.
And let me ask you, what is the strategy going forward now, Elvis? I know you've wrapped this thing up.
Well, we got it. We're going to go to the convention in Indianapolis, and we're going to lay the law down because now I run the party. And now that I run the party, I'm going to tell them what's what and how everything's going to go. They're going to do it my way, okay?
Boy, that's music to my ears. Absolutely. The Ganglican Party has been running, they've been running amok.
You better believe it, but me, Elvis Sharrock, I'm going to tell them how things are going to get done. I'm going to tell them where the bodies are buried. I'm going to tell them how they're going to proceed with the campaign, where I want to go, what I want to do, what I want to talk about, and every plank in that platform I have to approve of. We've never had this kind of power before, Pete, and I think it's thanks to a lot of guys like you.
Well, I appreciate that. I think that's giving me a little too much credit. But ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the voice of the next president of the United States, Elvis Sharrock, speaking to us from New York City tonight, where he has wrapped up the Ganglian Party's nomination and will be going up against Cheryl Dickberger. And I'll tell you what, you know as well as I do that the Cleavage Party is right now shaking in their boots.
Well, they bet. I hope they are. I think they are. I think that she knows that she's got a fight, the fight of the life with Elvis Sharrock, okay? And I don't care. She's played the woman card, and she's played also, you know, she doesn't just have the woman card, but she has that transgender card, too, and then she has the man card because of the sexual reassignment surgery.
But we're not going to go down that road. We're not going to impugn her sexuality. Let's stay above that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. Absolutely. We're not going to go down the road of bigotry like the Dickberger campaign has wanted us to go down and the way they went down with me after those photographs. I'll tell you, I have never been more railroaded in my life when those photographs came out of me with me at that party with some of the underage kids, and no one wanted to believe that I was there as a birthday clown, and yes, I was.
And you explained why you weren't wearing the full outfit.
I wasn't wearing the full outfit because it was a hot day. I've explained all of this a million times. Well, Dickberger and her people, they brought out the assassination troops. They tried to gut me like a spear and hang me upside down, put me on a spit, and then turn me over an open, even flame for about, say, 4 hours while they just ladled on the barbecue sauce, laughing. Well, guess what? I got off that spit and ran away into the woods where I donned my clothing. I hosed off the barbecue sauce, and I got into, well, you understand it.
Yeah, well, we understand the metaphor there, the allegory. Whatever it is.
All right, thanks.
Well, Randy, let me say, you know, I'm sorry, but he was going on and on.
I was doing what?
What did you say?
You were going on and on and on. You were on a spit with a barbecue.
No, I wasn't on a spit. Well, all right. I mean,
Hold on for a minute, Elvis. Randy, that's not your call. I apologize, but I think we got the general idea. I'll decide whether we got the.
All right, don't. Come on, Randy's had a tough week too with some of the stuff I know he's got coming up.
What would that be?
Well, I don't think it's any secret.
Look, guys, come on.
No, I don't think it's any secret, Randy, that you're going through a very, very difficult divorce, correct?
Yeah. All right, this is not what we want on the eve of what will be a wonderful campaign.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think you ought to be, sir. I'm sorry, Governor, but I just...
I said I'm sorry.
That was not fair. Are you going through a divorce?
Well,
just tell everybody. Just be upfront about it.
Yes, I am, ladies and gentlemen.
And why?
I was unfaithful to my wife.
Okay, now it's out there. And this is more than you'll get from Cheryl Dickberger.
That's a great point.
This is more than you'll get from Cheryl. She'll lie. Why? Because she's a liar. She lies and lies yet again. Now, we know that Elvis lies. And I don't think you've ever been opposed to admitting that.
Oh, no, I'm a liar. I lie through my teeth. I lie when it's convenient. But I don't lie the way Cheryl Dickberger does. She lies. Oh, man. The way she lies, the creative ways that she... I can't lie near as good as her.
And yet you are a liar.
Oh, I'm a crawling, low-down, no-good, dirty, filthy liar, yes. But what I've got on my side is the American people. And
boy, you said a mouthful there.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, the American people have never let me down.
And when we go into that convention in July in Indianapolis, and I tell the Ganglion Party what's up and what isn't, and I tell them exactly what's going to happen, I don't want any party chairman, you know. And with all due respect to Frank Thief, he may be the chairman of the Ganglion Party, but I'll tell him and you and anybody who wants to hear me, you better stay away from me, Frank. Just stay far, far away from me, because I'm going to be the guy calling the shots. The minute I got you walking up to me and saying, hey, you know, we really have to be consistent with our position on abortion, I'm going to pick you up and I'm going to throw you through the nearest window. I hope that is made clear.
But that's exactly what I wanted to hear.
Well, I'll tell you.
Everybody, we've gotten cards and letters from people saying the same thing.
All right. Well, do people write cards and letters or the...
We're getting a lot of emails.
All right. Thank you, because I want to make sure the people that are voting for me are technologically advanced.
Well, a lot of them use cards and letters, but also email.
Right. A lot of them are cards and letters. A lot of them are email.
Cards and letters. That's only old people. Well, it counts.
It counts. You better believe it counts as a vote.
Yeah. But I'm going to tell you, every swinging you know what, I've been drinking myself since the word came down. I'm celebrating just a thief in the night, and I can't tell you how gratified and how wonderful it feels.
All right, Elvis Sharrock, we thank you very much, sir. It's been a very tough campaign, and congratulations as you go on to Indianapolis and you put together the plank and the platform from the planks. And what are the different planks?
That's none of your business or anybody else's.
That's exactly what I wanted to hear you say.
That's right. Because I think now the American people know that they want a guy who knows what he's doing, and they don't have to know what it is I'm thinking. I think they trust me, and I think that that's the one thing we learned in this primary process. They trust me, Elvis Sharrock, and if they think that I'm going to tell them what I'm thinking, that only is going to telegraph what I want to our enemies, to people overseas, right? Even though I want America to be an America-first country and I don't want to get entangled with foreign people, I don't want them to know what I'm thinking in case I do want to get entangled with them. And I realize that's very confusing, but the American people just need to trust me, Elvis Sharrock. I'll take care of them.
That's what we want to hear, you know?
Absolutely. I've got children. I've got myself. I got my life. I have, a new wife. Yes, my old wife is divorcing me, but I've got a new wife. And we want to know that while we're at work, you're taking care of business, you're making decisions, that, and you don't have to bother us with it.
Well, I don't want to bother the American people with it. You've got more stuff on your table, folks. Don't worry about what I'm doing. I'll just do it. And you all just do your little jobs out there, and I'll leave you alone if you leave me alone.
That I think, is the... Really, that should be the watchword of the Elvis Sharrock campaign. I'll leave you alone if you leave me alone.
As your president, yes. Let me do what I got to do. And I don't mean anything by this, but butt out. Keep your nose out of my business. And
a lot of people will say the president's business is their business, too.
Well, but that's up to us, Randy, you know?
Yeah, it's up to the media. I can't be 800 places at once.
No, I got this, Elvis. It's up to us, Randy. You, me, all of us in the media to say, back the hell off. The president's busy.
I understand.
And when we do that, Elvis Sharrock wins. He wins for all of us.
That's my plan. I want to win for you, all of you out there. And I'll tell you, thank you again to all of the American people for putting your trust in me. I want you now to put your trust in me for the next, let's call it 8 years, if not longer. And
wait a minute. What are you planning? You know, the Constitution says you can only run for 2 terms. You can only run for 2 terms.
Well, you know, we may want to change the Constitution because I have a lot that I want to do. And I think the country, at the end of those 8 years, if I feel the country is in a very, very almost dire position and we need an emergency decree of some kind, I can declare an emergency decree, declare martial law, and I can run, for another 3 or 4 years. I won't make it a full 4. I guarantee you I will quit when the time comes.
All right. Well, we trust you.
Thank you.
Elvis Sharrock, I'm going to let you go, sir. You got a busy night ahead of you. A
lot of phone calls coming in. I got Sean Hannity on the other line. I got Bill O'Reilly. I got a million of these guys calling in. But you know what? I wanted to get you out of the way. I don't mean get you out of the way. I wanted to talk to you first, Pete, because Pete Bone is rising. And I want to be on that. I want to be sitting on that when it gets into its full position.
Thank you very, very much, Elvis, and congratulations again. And I shouldn't call you Elvis Governor. You are now you're the presumptive president. If you want, I want to call you Mr. President.
Well, let's hold on with that.
And congratulations again, Governor.
Thank you very much, Randy. Both of you guys, a very pleasant good night.
Elvis Sharrock, who is the nominee now, and he's going on to Indianapolis, and then you know the cleavage people are going to be nominating Cheryl Dickberger, and the two of them will face off. It's going to be a great election. It'll be a great campaign, but I fully expect Elvis Sharrock to absolutely annihilate, obliterate, and completely destroy Cheryl Dickberger to the point where we never have to hear or see her foul, fetid, stink-filled name again.
Absolutely. And we feel that once we are in the White House, of course, we will expect the loyalty of Cheryl Dickberger and all members of the Cleavage Party, and that's the American way.
Right. We want that foul, stinking, rotten human being. Once she loses, we know we can count on her support. This is Pete Bone, and it is Pete Bone Rising here, and it's a very, very special show, I can tell you, because the word has come down. Yes, indeed. The presumptive nominee of the Ganglia Party, of course, is Elvis Sharrock, and we're talking to him here on Pete Bone. We're filling in, by the way, in parts of the country on the Phil Henry Radio Network. So we welcome on Phil Henry's listeners here as Phil Henry is taking the week off on vacation. This is Pete Bone. We'll be right back. From the Croner Building in Chicago, Illinois, it's Pete Bone Rising. Call Pete now at 8112. That's 8212. That's 8221. Hi, folks. This is Phil Henry encouraging you to share our podcast when you ever get the chance. If you like the stuff we do and you want to share it with your friends or with your family, by all means do, because that spreads the word about the Phil Henry Show, and it spreads the word about a podcast that we think is top shelf, top of the line, just a cut above all the rest. A professional broadcast podcast, a professional theatrical presentation by all of your friends here at the world famous Phil Henry Show. Share the podcast. Let people know where it's at. Let people know what it looks like, what it sounds like, what it feels like, how it feels on a dark and lonely night as you cuddle it close to you, and we'll be forever grateful. Visit us at philhenryshow.com, or of course you can always visit us at philhenryshow.com for that matter, or other places like SoundCloud and Podcast One. But wherever you go, however you do it, and whatever you do, share alike. That's what Mother always said. The Phil Henry Show podcast. And now from the Croner Building in Chicago, Illinois, Pete Bone Rising continues. And welcome back, Pete Bone here. As I mentioned before the break, we are filling in on the Phil Henry Show out in California. There's other shows. Jackson Weber is on vacation. Clem Clendell Show. So there's a few that are on vacation. We do a little fill-in for them as well. You know, we got preempted in the Augusta market because of the Chevron Open in Louisiana. I didn't understand that. But Pete Bone is rising.
Yes, indeed.
And I'll tell you something. The proof of the influence that we have is the fact that we just had Elvis Sharrock on the phone, the presumptive nominee of the Ganglian Party, who will be going up against Cheryl Dickberger. What do you want, Randy?
I can tell you this later or now. I don't...
What's going on? You were waving to me.
Well, if you want me to tell you later, I will.
Well, what is it the nature of? Tell me that. Yeah, we got an audience now in pins and needles.
It's in the nature of who we were just talking to.
It's in the nature of who we were just talking to. Is it about Elvis?
In a way, yeah.
Well, what is it? Spell it.
That was not Elvis Sharrock we were talking to. Apparently, that was a campaign staffer that does an impression of him.
Where did you get that information?
I just got off the phone with the Cheryl Dickberger people.
Well, how do you know they're telling you the truth?
Because apparently they've got an inside person over there.
Well, that sounded exactly like Elvis Sharrock. How dare you do that in the middle of this show?
You asked me to do it, Pete. I'm sorry.
You know what? You're right. I asked for it. How do you know that the Dickberger people aren't trying to fool around with us?
Because they said they've got a person inside the campaign, and it was corroborated by a couple of other people.
What do you mean corroborated by? When did this call come in?
It came in about, I'd say, you had about 3 or 4 minutes left in the interview with Elvis, or with who we thought was Elvis.
And why didn't you tell me then?
I didn't want to interrupt the interview in case it really was him.
Well, then how do you know now that it isn't him?
Because then I got calls from people independent of the call that I got, and you hadn't mentioned anything on the air.
Well, I don't know how to proceed with this now. Are you sure that was not Elvis Sharrock?
As far as I can tell, this seems pretty credible. The Dickberger people had people inside the campaign, and
I think we are being effed with. I think we're being fucked with. How do you like that?
I think that's a bad thing to do, to start violating all of the language restrictions here.
Well, I'm violating those language restrictions because somebody is fucking with me.
I think that's a bad decision.
All right. If the Cheryl Dickberger people want to call now, let's get this right out in the open. We'll take some phone calls while we wait for anybody from the Cheryl Dickberger campaign to call in and verify. I'd love to hear what you've got to say, because I'll tell you something. I don't believe it. I'm not buying it for I'm not buying it at all. I do not believe that that was some campaign staffer. Let me go to Carl. Carl, how are you?
Hi, good afternoon. This is Carl Flint, and I'm calling for Pete Brown.
You're on the air right now, pal.
Oh, okay. Shut it off. Shut it way off. I'm in the middle of a bath. I was working outside. I heard what was happening. I wanted to call. And I have to tell you, I also, that was the voice of Pee-wee. So, yeah, that was the voice of Pee-wee Brown, who works the who is the media relations guy for the Pete Bone camp, not Pete Bone, of the Elvis Sharrock campaign.
Who was it?
Pee-wee Brown.
Pee-wee Brown does media relations.
Pee-wee Brown is he's known for his Elvis Sharrock impressions.
And why was he talking to me?
Because Sharrock was on at the same time. I'm going to listen to him on the Sean Hannity show.
Well, how do you know it wasn't me who had Sharrock and Hannity had Pee-wee Brown?
I that's a good question, but I'm assuming that it's because of the relative profiles of your shows.
Say that again?
I'm assuming it's the relative profile.
Tell you what, sir, I'll explain it to Pete.
No, wait a minute. Wait. I want to talk to him.
No, I'll talk to Randy.
No, but you got to understand.
All right, what do you think?
Well, Hannity's got more listeners, so Sharrock decided that he'd go with Hannity.
What do you mean, Hannity? You know, this is getting curiouser and curiouser. One of the best friends I have in this world, Randy Bremmer.
Now understand, Pete.
Wait a minute, Randy, wait a minute. One of the best friends I have in this world, Randy Bremmer, is sitting here and telling me, Pete Bone, that Elvis Sharrock wasn't on my show. Pee-wee Brown was some dirty little media relations guy who does an Elvis Sharrock impression, and they use him so they can have more than one Elvis Sharrock on the air. Is that right?
That's it.
And you're telling me that Pee-wee was on my show because the real Elvis Sharrock was doing Hannity.
That's about right.
And you're basing that on your belief that Sean Hannity has more listeners. You're assuming, because he has more listeners, Elvis Sharrock is going to do his show.
I'm not just assuming. I heard from inside people.
No, I don't want to hear about Dickberger. What does she know?
They've got people in the campaign.
Has anybody confirmed from the Elvis Sharrock campaign? If we get confirmation from the Elvis Sharrock campaign that they did indeed send Pee-wee Brown my way, then I will believe it.
Yes, we have.
We got confirmation.
Yes. Pee-wee Brown himself called in, and he's on the phone.
He's on the phone now. This better be good. Let me get Pee-wee Brown up here, and I don't have him there.
Line six.
Line six. Here's Pee-wee. Still don't have him.
Line four.
Line four. Okay. I'll go to line four.
Line three.
No, line four is fine. Is this Pee-wee?
Yes, it is. I apologize profusely to you, Pete, but Elvis was doing another interview.
Why did you represent yourself as Elvis Sharrock?
Because I knew you'd buy it, and I didn't know that I'd get outed, you know, that that somebody from the Dickberger campaign would out us.
Well, first of all, your apology.
I can tell you that Elvis has authorized me to say to you, Pete, that if you would just lay off, back off, and accept our apologies, there's going to be something down the road for you. There's going to be a place at the trough for you when Elvis Sharrock becomes our next 45th or 46th, I forget which one, president of the United States.
Say that again.
This is big.
Say that again.
I will say it. Elvis Sharrock has said, if you just shut your mouth, back off, and don't mention anything about this ever again, that there's going to be a place for you further down the trough in an Elvis Sharrock administration.
So we are being offered a position in an Elvis Sharrock administration if we simply let bygones be bygones on the fact that you were doing an impersonation of him when you were on my show a moment ago, and it wasn't the real Elvis Sharrock. He was doing the Sean Hannity show, even though I bought that you were Elvis Sharrock.
That is it in a nutshell, yes.
How can you go wrong?
Well, I'd be crazy to turn that down.
That's a great answer, because that's exactly what Elvis wanted. Elvis is going to be fantastic. The governor is going to be great. He said yes. He said yes, sir.
Is Elvis there?
In the interest of honesty, no, he isn't. I was pretending he was, you know, but you're asking good questions.
All right, so if I hadn't asked that question, then you would have said you were talking to the governor.
That's exactly right.
Well, it shows you the kind of guy that Pete is. Pete's thorough.
We know you're thorough. We know you're thorough, Pete. We appreciate that. And here's the governor now. Governor, Pete has accepted your offer of a position in his administration.
May I talk to him now?
I'm kidding. That wasn't really him. I made that up. The minute you ask me, may I talk to him, you blow my cover, so I have to tell you.
Well, is he anywhere in the building?
No, he's not. He's at home. He's probably asleep. He got done with the Hannity, and he said he didn't want to be bothered by anybody else. The limousine picked him up on time, and he probably fell asleep in the limo home.
All right, well, look, but is that a bona fide offer?
It is a bona fide offer. I got the offer off of the phone call from the limousine. I knew it was the limousine because I could hear... You know, I could hear the music playing, and he was obviously very relaxed and having a good time, so I knew it was him.
You knew it was him. How do you know it wasn't another guy in a different limousine?
That's a good question, but we thoroughly checked it out, and it was him in another limousine. Whether I was talking to him or not, that's a different story.
Well, were you or were you not?
I believe I was.
And he offered Pete a position in the Chirac administration.
He did indeed, if that was him that I was talking to.
Well, that's all we can hope for, and I appreciate that very, very much, Pee-wee, for being forthcoming. One might chalk that up as some kind of a prank, but, you know, it's a little irritating.
No. I understand completely, and I would have been irritated, too. That's why I wanted you to know that Elvis was very, very, at least the man that I talked to that I thought was Elvis, was very, very upset. And the man I talked to that I thought was Elvis did offer you a position.
When will I know it was actually Elvis?
When he walks in here physically and I'm looking at him. And it isn't like, for instance, Jerry Kaplan, who has those Elvis Chirac masks. So I'd have to peel the rubber off, make sure he's not wearing a latex mask.
And then you'll know it's him.
Then we'll know it's him.
That's fair enough.
My man Randy says it's fair enough. Good enough for me.
Well, we appreciate that.
All right. Pee-wee Brown, ladies and gentlemen, from the Elvis Chirac campaign. Thank you so much, Pee-wee.
You're welcome.
All right. So
all's well that ends well there.
All's well that ends well there. No kidding. I got to tell you. You know, it's like Elvis to, and I say Elvis, I hope I don't sound like I'm being too presumptive here, speaking of presumptive, Governor, but I feel like I can call you by your first name, because that's the way Elvis Chirac has been with everybody. It's like he's
everyone's friend. He's everyone's best friend. I noticed that.
He is. And so I thank you very, very much, Governor, from the bottom of my heart, to offer me a position in your administration. I couldn't be more proud, and... I just am absolutely thrilled. And what can I tell you? I'll do the very, very best I can with what I got, with what the good Lord gave me.
Absolutely.
And will we stop doing this show? You better believe we will not. We're going to keep going. Pete Bone doesn't quit on his listeners. I can tell you that much. Let's go to another phone call here. Davey out there working tonight. Davey, how are you?
I'm doing really good, Pete. Listen. Congratulations on the offer from the governor or a person who sounds like the governor. How do you know that wasn't Pee-wee Brown offering you that job?
Well, Pee-wee said it came from the governor, so he wasn't. He said it was coming from the governor. Now you're representing yourself as representing somebody else, even though it could have been someone else who was telling Pee-wee that. But Pee-wee feels fairly certain that it was the governor, but he'll find out when the governor shows up there and they peel any latex mask off of the individual. If there isn't one, if it's actually the governor's skin, his flesh, then, hey, what's, you know, a couple of Band-Aids, he'll be okay, and we'll know it's him.
That's great. I'm all for Governor Chirac. I voted for him, and I voted for him when he ran four years ago, and we were all so disappointed, so I'm excited about that. And I just want to say one thing. Don't get angry, okay, but with what I'm about to say?
Well, you know what they say, young man.
Well, please don't, because this is actually Pee-wee Brown, okay? Now,
What are you doing now, huh?
I'm showing you how easy it is to not know who you're talking to, so you've got to be on your guard.
Well, what's the point of that, Pee-wee?
The point was that you guys fall for this stuff. So no wonder I was able to call. Now, if there's anybody out there that actually does an Elvis Chirac impression that is not a part of his campaign team, and he gets on your show, it can make us look like
absolute asses. Asses in the wind. And we can't have it, I tell you. We can't have it.
All right, you can't have it, but calling me up and pretending like you're some kid named Davey or whatever it was...
I was playing the part of a car mechanic.
Yeah, I don't like that, and I don't appreciate it, and it plays me for a chump.
Nope. You're wrong there, Pete.
No, I'm right there. I agree with Pete. You're playing him for a clown. You're trying to play the clown card on him, and we got too many people playing the card here.
Yeah, a lot of people in this campaign played the clown card, and then they played the Joker card, and they played the goofball card. Thank God none of them played the black or the woman card, but they played the goof card and the clown card, the goofball card.
Well, over there, we never played the muscular dystrophy card or the limp card.
Well, yes, you did play the limp card. You did, because I know your campaign sent out Pee-wee Brown, because I don't know who he is. I wouldn't know him if he dropped dead in my living room. And I had to call a priest to give him the last rites. I wouldn't know who to... But I do know that a member of your campaign was limping across the street toward a rally for Cheryl Dickberger, and turned out it was a member of your campaign, and everyone gave him all this sympathy, and he was playing the limping card. So don't tell me you guys don't do that.
We do it when we need to in a pinch, but you fell for that kid. I'm just saying, be careful.
We'll be careful. Do me a favor, okay? Go to bed.
Okay, Pete, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot. Pee-wee Brown, that's the second time we've said goodnight to him tonight. Pee-wee Brown.
Boy, a lot of stories there.
Pee-wee Brown, man. That's a guy who knows the ins and the outs. He knows where every single body is buried in American politics, and he buried a few of them himself.
Boy, no kidding.
He buried a few of them himself, and literally buried a few of them himself. And I'm not saying he had anything to do with their demise, but he was there at their funerals. But if he wasn't physically burying them...
Well, was he watching them being buried?
No, he was a part of the team that lowered the casket into the ground and shoveled dirt, because his father had that company, but also he knew a lot of the people that were dying, and they used his dad's ditch-digging company that they dug a lot of the holes for somebody's boxes to go in.
You talk about coffins.
Yes, I'm talking about... What do you think I'm talking about, Randy?
I'm sorry.
So he was a part of the company that did that. But beyond that, he was also a guy who just knew everyone and still does. And I put him in the past tense because there's a part of me that wants to kill him, you know?
Yeah, well, who wouldn't want to strangle a guy?
All 5 foot one of him, you know? I would strangle him and take the dead body and kick it, you know, like 50 yards and... You know, touchback or whatever you want to say. All right, folks, this is the Pete Brown Show here, and we are coming to you live from the Kroner Building here in Chicago, Illinois. We're going to come back with a wrap-up of our show here today. What a monster show it's been.
Absolutely.
Pete Bone filling in here for Phil Hendry, Cass Carberger, and Jeff Lanouni, and a bunch of other shows across the country. This is the Pete Bone Radio Network. Pete Bone Rising from the Kroner Building in Chicago, Illinois. For a copy of today's show, a transcript, if you will, write to Pete Bone, Kroner Building, Chicago, Illinois. Please write transcript on the envelope. Not transcript, transcript. Hi, folks. This is Pete Bone for the Pete Bone Juicer. You've never seen anything like this. You know, I like my juice. I like my breakfast juices. I like my dinner juices the same way I like my politics. I want it strained, sweet, ready, power pack, Jack. And I'll tell you, the Pete Bone Juicer does it all for you. With this juicer, you can put anything in there. I mean anything. You can feed vegetables, fruits, meats. That's right. When have you ever heard of, like, putting a lamb chop into a juicer and it comes out lamb juice? It's fantastic and is so good for you. I make 100 of these a day. I drink them down and I feel like I've got the old pep back. You know, there was a time there, I know you all know, that I fell off that beam, that construction job, Randy.
Oh yeah, that was painful.
And I landed spread eagle on a 2x4 just about 2 floors down. And you know you're laughing. I hear a lot of you in my mind. I can hear a lot of you laughing. It wasn't funny because I went down spread eagle, hit that 2x4, and then I was sprung up another floor. And the guys up there were trying to grab me out of the air so I wouldn't do it again. And I did it again. Not just once, but two more times. So 3 times I went spread eagle on a 2x4 from 3 floors up. You don't think that hurt? Think again, my friend. The Pete Bone Juicer. Get it now from Pete Bone Productions. Pete Bone Industries, the manufacturer of the Pete Bone Juicer.
Back to the Kroner Building in Chicago, Illinois with Pete Bone.
Thank you very, very much, Todd. Are you feeling good today?
It sounds like you have a cold.
Oh, yeah, do.
You got the allergies, huh?
Little bit of an allergy.
Welcome back here to the Pete Bowen Show, and what a momentous day. If you missed the news, Elvis Sharrock has wrapped up he's the presumptive nominee of the Anglican, of the Ganglican Party. Cheryl Dickberger and he have already set out three or four different debates they're going to have. We talked to Pee-wee Brown twice. Once, he was pretending he was Elvis Sharrock, and in point of fact, it was Pee-wee Brown. Then he called back as some caller, a mechanic, calling from the Lansing area, and it was Pee-wee again. And what was the point? The point was to make sure that Pete Bone is on his stuff.
Right, on your tiptoes.
On my tiptoes. And to make sure that Pete Bone, you know what we like to say, Pete Bone is rising. And as Pete Bone is rising, get on it. Because, friend, sky's the limit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Pete Bone rising, right along with our country rising again with Elvis Sharrock.
I hope so. And by the way, we got a call from a member of their campaign staff who assured me, they swore up and down, and they took a blood oath on the eyes of their children that I do indeed have a position with the Pete Bone administration, the Pete Bone administration, with the Elvis Sharrock administration, once they are elected. And believe me, I believe they will be elected.
All right, now we got one more call. It's Pee-wee Brown, so he's not trying to fool anybody here. Yeah, Pee-wee? All right, he wants to go on with you.
Pee-wee, what's up?
Listen, let me just say, we're looking forward to having you. I talked to the governor. We're looking forward to having you. But he heard you say like three times a Pete Bone administration. Now, he's a little concerned that your mind is not in the right place on this thing.
No. That nothing could be further from the truth, Pee-wee. Elvis Sharrock is my president.
All right. Well, just so he knows, okay? And I have to be honest with you. This is not Pee-wee. This is Elvis Sharrock.
So this is the governor?
Yes, it is. And it bothered me, so I wanted to call you myself. I'm calling for the limousine, and I'm having some birthday cake with my trusted aide, Dolores Banbouter, and, you know, my wife, if you're listening, Trudy, it's fine. I'm having some birthday cake with her, that's all, because Dolores she's got a nervous condition. But I want to let everyone know, and that should prove that I am who I am, because I just mentioned a woman that I'm sitting in a limousine with sharing birthday cake with her. Give me a break, you know?
Yeah, no, I understand.
All right. So I want people to know that you are indeed on my short list of, I'll tell you right now, Pete, as press secretary for the Sharrock administration.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
That's right. That's right. And I thought of you immediately, and you are my pick, even though I do have a short list. There's six other guys. But I hope I'm really pulling for me picking you. I don't know how I'm going to go. If it was up to me, I would pick you right now. But it isn't up to me. It's up to the rest of me. So I...
Well, it's a big decision.
It is a big decision.
Well, I appreciate that you are considering me, and you obviously, I have your full support.
You have my full support, absolutely, but I can't pick you because the rest of me, other guys have my full support. I'm sure you understand, but I just want to make sure that you're not trying to play this cute, you're not doing cutesy-poo on me or anything.
No, I'm not looking to, for goodness sake, I said the Pete Bone administration because we have to identify the show when that occasionally happens.
All right, real good. Well, listen, all the best to you, Pete. This is Elvis Sharrock. Actually, no, it isn't. It's Pee-wee Brown, so I...
Boy, you did it again, didn't you?
I did, but I one of the reasons why we do that...
You did it again, didn't you?
I did, but one of the reasons why we do that...
Pee-wee, it gets a little old.
It is getting old, Pee-wee.
All right, I'm sorry. Let me put the governor on.
All right.
Governor, he wants to talk to you.
Put the governor on. I want to talk to him.
The governor's not here. I just faked you out. He was...
All right, when do I get to talk to the governor?
Tomorrow. I told you tomorrow.
And what was the point of this call?
You're talking about the Pete Bone administration. I have to report to the governor that you're on board.
And do I really have the offer of the press secretary job?
You do, yes. But like I said, the governor, you have the governor's full support, but it's not entirely up to him. It's up to other aspects of him.
And they are supporting other people.
That's correct, yes.
All right, Pee-wee.
It's Pee-wee Brown, I swear to God.
All right, Pee-wee, thank you very, very much. And we're looking forward to having the governor back on.
All right, this is actually Governor...
So, what do you think of that?
I think that Governor Sharrock
is beginning to very slowly pull together a great team around him. Isn't that the truth? Yeah. Hey. I got to applaud that. That is the truth. He's pulling a great team together. And do I say that because he's mentioned Pete Bone as a possible press secretary? Yes. But do I say that the entire team is pulled together because he has Pete Bone? No. He has a lot of work to do. He's got a lot of stuff he's got to do and a lot of stuff that he doesn't want to do. He's got a lot. There's a lot of everything to do for the governor, Elvis Schrock, once he becomes president. You notice we've got him as president. You know that?
I know. It's nuts.
All right, everybody. This is Pete Bone. It's been a wonderful Monday. I'm so, so happy that you've been with me for this one. And don't forget, everybody, remember what we say here on the Pete Bone Show. We're Pete Bone Rising, and the bone is always going to be home. Bone home. E.T. Bone home. From the Kroner Building in Chicago, Illinois, this has been Pete Bone Rising on the Pete Bone Radio Network. World-famous Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved, on Podcast One. Honey, I'm home.
Hey, Pete, this is Governor Schrock. Pete, you're fired.